Hey, this is Life Coach David. Thanks for listening to the Law of Attraction podcast. And my intention for this podcast is that when you're done listening to it, you'll be left with some wonderful Law of Attraction information that you can use in your personal life to help you attract what you want, feel higher vibe, feel happier, and just live a better day-to-day existence, which does happen when you know about the Law of Attraction and you implement the principles so that things just get better. One of my favorite quotes is, when you live your life from a Law of Attraction point of view, it only gets better. And that's true. I haven't done a podcast in a while because I've been so busy with coaching clients and life, but I'm glad to be doing it again. And we're going to continue today with readings from Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. And if you're looking to make Law of Attraction more part of your life and you really want to attract what you want, feel happier, feel higher vibe, I've been a certified Law of Attraction life coach for over 10 years. And my coaching sessions are held over the phone. So if you're interested, it doesn't matter where you live. Just contact me through lifecoachdavid.com or just email me David@lifecoachdavid.com, and we'll take it from there. I hope your year is going really well so far, and you keep attracting lots and lots of wins, and things just keep going your way, and every day you're just like, yay, I'm so excited about life, I'm so excited about the day, I'm so looking forward to what happens, and just knowing at the core that things are always working out for you. And if you really believe that, and tell yourself that, you're going to experience more of that. You know, it's very interesting, from a Law of Attraction point of view, we get what we believe. So, what do you believe? Do you really believe you can attract or manifest what you want? Do you really believe you can feel really happy every day? Do you really believe that things are always working out for you? Ask yourself that, and if you don't, just start letting that thought roll around your mind throughout the day. Things are always working out for me. Just keep telling yourself, things are always working out for me. And the more you remind yourself, the more things will always be working out for you. That's a very important belief to start thinking about. And then eventually, when you think things are always working out for me, you'll fully believe it like I do. And it's just wonderful to come from that point of view. And sometimes if something doesn't seem to be working out for you, it's so helpful to tell yourself, it's okay because things are always working out for me. And when you do that, it helps you not spiral into low vibration thoughts and more negative thoughts. Just tell yourself, you know what, it's okay. Things are always working out for me. And then just move forward from that intention, and it feels much better than spiraling down. So let's get back into Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting by Lynn Grabhorn. And we're starting a new chapter. And this chapter is called Conditions Be Damned. This whole process of deliberate creating is really quite simple, but not always easy, at least not at first. In fact, I'd be inclined to say it's a bitch. But once you get the hang of how you're focusing and flowing your energy and see what the all too obvious results of that are, it becomes a snap. Well, almost. Let's do a quick review before diving in deeper and take a look at how far we've gotten into the four steps of deliberate creating. We've reasonably examined step one, identify what you don't want. We've moderately examined step two, identify what you do want. And we've taken a pass at step three, find the feeling place of what you want. Now we're getting to the real guts of step three, the tough part, learning how to feel good about something we want and don't have. You know as well as I do that our usual thinking has been along the lines of, quote, when what's over there comes here, then I can be happy. Or when I have the right body, then I can feel good about myself. When I'm making more money, then I'll be rid of stress. The old gotta find a way to fix it so I can be happy syndrome. Yet, it's been precisely that kind of thinking that has made our lives so difficult. When circumstances have not suited us, which is more times than not, our first reaction has always been to search for physically aggressive remedies to remove it, release it, repair it, or correct it. We are, after all, physical beings. Don't like it? No problem. Whack, bang, smack, let's just fix it. But if whatever it is we're trying to accomplish doesn't get fixed, or it seems too big to change, or too overwhelming to attain in a time frame which suits us, we get all disgruntled and frustrated. And you already know the results of that scenario. In the energy of our disgruntledness and frustration, we're simply attracting a whole lot more of whatever it is we're trying so darn hard to fix. And here's an example. My old college friend Liz had lived with her husband for years in a well-to-do area of Arizona, raising two children and working as a volunteer for her favorite humanitarian organizations. When her husband Clint died recently, Liz was faced with some rough decisions. She hadn't worked for 3 decades, but getting some money coming in was mandatory. The family had moved into a large new home only 3 years before his death, a home that came with hefty payments but very little equity, so that selling the new place to purchase a smaller one with smaller payments was not an option. The worst part was he left very little insurance. Without warning, Liz found herself between a rock and a hard place. If she sold the house, there wouldn't be enough to buy a smaller one. If she kept it, she was facing payments she couldn't afford. Sure, the kids offered to help, but that would provide her with only temporary relief. Her one talent was her artwork. She was an accomplished watercolor artist, and her paintings of the Arizona desert were a delight to behold. She had never sold much commercially, except to admiring friends, but now she found herself with the enticing possibility, if not necessity, of becoming a full-time professional artist. Being a gutsy gal, she decided to go for it amidst protests from her offspring that she should find something more traditional, like a sales job with a local department store. But between what Clint had left her, their small savings, and what she borrowed from the kids, she had enough to keep her going for about a year. But every time we talked, it was, "God, I haven't sold anything yet. I don't know if this is going to work or not. I've got to sell something pretty soon, or I don't know what I'll do." Liz was not a student of flowing energy, nor did she care to be. She listened politely to my sometimes not-so-gentle suggestions that she stop focusing on her current negative condition, which was lack of sales, and start focusing seriously on what she wanted and how that felt to her. Over and over we talked. Over and over, Liz would say, "I don't think I can hold out much longer. I'm getting so nervous I can't even concentrate on my painting. What am I going to do? I'm terrified." One day I just couldn't hold back any longer. Acting out of good old tough love for a dear, dear friend, I started talking low, slow, but very firmly. Here's what I said. "All right, my friend, if you want to sink your own ship, be my guest. I wash my hands. Enjoy your misery, and please don't call again with your problems. You could turn them around in no time if you'd stop belly aching. So whenever you're ready, give a call. I mean it. No more calls until you're ready to take control." I felt like a heel, but I wasn't going to become another link in her chain of pain. For 3 weeks, all was quiet on the Arizona phone waves. When the call came, I could have cried. She said to me, you win, I give up. What do I do?" And she meant it. First, I got her talking about all the things she didn't want. That was easy. To lose the house, lose the respect of her friends and children, lose the chance to paint professionally. Then we started on the wants, piece by piece. We zeroed in on the house first, as that was the most pressing. That and any other subject relating to money. Liz could speak of nothing else because that's all she'd been thinking about. Her paintings weren't selling, so all the money was going in the wrong direction, out. I said, "Okay, Liz, the first thing we're going to do is get you feeling good and vibrating differently." Then she said, "Feeling good? You twit, how on earth do you expect me to feel good when I'm about to lose everything. Everything Clint and I ever had. That's why I'm calling you to figure out how to sell my paintings. If they'd start selling, everything would be okay, and I'd feel as good as you want me to feel. But that was precisely the problem. All Liz could see in front of her was the lack of what she wanted. The more she looked at all she didn't have, and all that was not coming in, the worse she felt. The worse she felt, the more frantically she'd run around in circles trying to turn it around. The more she ran, the worse she felt. And the worse she felt, the more nothing sold. She was focused completely and perpetually on the grim conditions of the moment, believing them to be the sum total of her reality. Facts were facts. Her attempt at supporting herself through her art were not working. She said, "I've got to face reality." But I kept at it and finally got her turned around to talking about why she wanted to keep the house, which at the time she felt was a preposterously stupid thing to be talking about. She said, all right, I want to keep the house so I won't have to move. Now that's a don't want, but I wasn't about to confuse her with details. And why don't you want to move, I said. Suddenly there was a softening as she said, well, because Clint and I love this place so much and it still feels like our place, like Clint is still here with me. Her resistance to feel-good energy was softening. None of that feeling has gone, and I do so cherish the way it makes me feel, she said, except when I think about having to make the payments. Bit by bit, we worked more into her love of their home until I heard such a sweet joy coming through. She was feeling good. Her valve was wide open. Then I said, Liz, stop. Stop right this moment. I want you to feel what you're saying. What do you mean? She said. How does what you're saying make you feel? She said, well, wonderful, of course. Nurtured, taken care of, even safe. It just feels so warm and safe. Then I said, good. Now hold on to that feeling. You got it? She said, yep, I've got it. It feels good, doesn't it? It sure does. It feels great, she said. All right, from that place of safety, from that place of feeling so good, think about how you'll feel when you're easily making payments on the house. Never mind how you're going to do it. Never mind you can't do it right now. Where you're going has nothing to do with where you are now. Nothing. You've got to remember that. This condition you are seeing yourself in doesn't mean a thing. Once and for all, take your focus off of it or you'll never get where you want to go. Do you understand that? She said, I think so, but how? And then I cut her off and said, never mind how. Your only job is to find ways to feel good and to forget about what's staring you in the face. You want to find ways to feel a little better and a little better and a little better until you feel pretty good. And when you feel pretty good in those moments, think about making those easy payments on your house. Do you think you can do that? Then she said, well, I don't know. Then I said, okay, how does being able to make those payments make you feel? Terrific, she said. Of course it does. Think about the thrill of selling your paintings, not from a place of gotta do it, but with the yay, I'm doing it kind of elation. When you think about it from that perspective, how does that feel? There was a long pause, and then she said, oh my gosh, that feels freer than a bird, just so heavenly. Right, and that's the feeling. That's what I want you to feel, that feeling all the time. Take your focus off of your current negative conditions. Stop looking at them, stop thinking about them. That only makes you feel worse. You've got to remember that your only job is to feel good, period. Then let the universe take care of the rest. Liz felt so wonderful talking about how she and Clint loved the house that she figured she could recreate that feeling fairly easily. At any rate, that's where she began. It took about 3 months and a phone bill that would kill a cow, but at the end of that third month, which just happened to coincide with the end of the year Liz had originally given herself to make good with her art, not only has she sold enough paintings to cushion herself for a while, but she had acquired an enthusiastic agent, or whatever you call them in the art world. She was scheduled for her first local showing, and she'd been commissioned with a fair amount of money up front to do a small mural in a private office building. Liz got the message and is now very careful as to how she flows her energy. In truth, I'm not sure which of us were more elated at the turnaround. Liz was just doing what we all do, running around like a chicken with its head cut off as she tried to fix all the circumstances of the moment that scared her. Like a drowning person struggling against the lifeguard, the more frightened and hopeless she felt, the harder she fought with negative energy to find ways to remedy her situation. She was looking at the mess she was in, her disastrous conditions, finding them not to her liking, and frantically wondering how to change them through normal physical means. And the more she tried to fix, the more negative energy she flowed and the worse things got. Everywhere she looked from within, that dark hole she thought was her reality. She saw nothing but gloom. We've all been there. When things get rough, we either brood about it or hastily plot for ways to exercise damage control. Fix it, improve it, rectify it. Is there one among us who hasn't mused? If I could just get from here to there, everything would be fine. We are fix-it mongers, dutifully trained to respond to whatever conditions are in our face. But fixing is resisting our natural energy. Fixing is a closed valve. Fixing is whopping negative energy. The challenge is to take our focus off the object of our anxieties or irritations and find the happier feeling of what we want in its place. In other words, we need to stop fixing and start feeling good. Let's say, for instance, your roof is old and needs to be replaced, but you don't have the money to do it right now. However, it's the rainy season, so the problem is somewhat pressing. You're also having major problems with the car, and the IRS is dunning you for back taxes. You've got a batch of nasty conditions on your hands, none of which are going to make you feel particularly sunny as you think about them. But think about them you do, and think about them and think about them and think about them. So of course they get bigger. All of those negative conditions, known more endearingly as problems, are nothing but irksome don't-wants. But they are so common to us and such a part of our world, we take them for granted as part of life. In fact, we wear them as honored badges of indemnity, a sort of one-upmanship in the sorry game of who can be the bigger victim. And naturally, the more we stew about them or brag about them, the bigger they become. Some negative conditions are serious problems, others simply minor annoyances. Yet whatever they may be, they are all so prevalent, so all-pervasive that we've made them a way of life. However, negative conditions are nothing more than the result of our own past focus and feelings, and therefore energy flow. That's all they are. Our negative energy flow was the cause, and the unpleasant conditions are the effect. There is only one way to stop the messes in our lives from getting worse. Stop focusing on them. If we can accept from the depths of our being that our problems are not caused by our boss, our mate, our raucous kids, the IRS, or the drunk on the freeway, then we have a chance to wipe those problems away in the same way we attracted them. By our energy flow, only this time through a significantly different vibration. I'm not going to pull any punches. This is tricky. Staring at and responding to what's in our face is what we do. To change that means we would have to give up our cherished right to have and agonize over our precious problems. Well, fear not. As long as we are physical, we will always be faced with conditions we neither like nor want. Otherwise, we'd be living in Saneville. So there will always be plenty of problems around for you to focus on if you should want to cut loose on occasion and flood yourself with negative energy, as I frankly enjoy doing from time to time. But our goal now is to change the way we react to our unwanted conditions So they cease being the focal point of our lives. Because of our upbringing and because of attitudes passed down over countless generations, we believe that what we see in the moment and what we are experiencing in the moment is the way it has to be until we either find a way to eradicate or accept it. We can see it. We're surely experiencing it. So in our book, that makes it reality. And yet, reality, real reality, is nothing more than the result of how we've been flowing our energy. Let's say, for instance, you're living in a body you don't much like. You call that reality, which equates to that which is unchangeable and must be accepted. Or let's say you're currently living in a declining economy, which is affecting your income. You call that reality a potentially disastrous condition over which you have no control. That's life, accept it. That's the way things are. You can't fight City Hall. Stop knocking your head against a brick wall. That's the way of the world. Learn to take life on its own terms. Within every life, a little rain must fall. Get your head out of the clouds. Life isn't fair. Wise up and face reality. Etc., etc., etc. Here's the flash. We do not have to face up to or put up with anything. All we have to do is learn to flow our energy differently. For nothing affects our experience except how we flow our energy. Nothing. With some things in our lives, those that are pleasing to us, our valve is naturally open because those conditions gratify us. Our positive energy is attracting more positive things. But as we look at the majority of negative conditions, our problems, all around us, our valve is slammed shut. Our connection to our source energy is barely enough to keep us breathing. And we wouldn't know a vibration of joy if it walked up and smacked us in the face. We're annoyed at this, steamed at that, worried about them, wondering how to correct this, complaining about that, afraid of God knows what all, depressed over everything, and vibrating such unceasing currents of negative energy all the time. It's a wonder we ever have any moments of joy at all. Just because you're living in the reality of a jobless market does not mean you can't attract a great job. Just because houses are not selling does not mean you can't attract a qualified, delighted buyer. Just because your body is not as strong as others does not mean you can't attract the strength to win the 400-meter race. Just because you've never worked in that market doesn't mean you can't attract the ability to be successful at it. Just because you've never been able to stop smoking does not mean you can't attract the willingness to stop smoking right now. Just because you've had two divorces does not mean you're doomed to attract another catastrophe. Whatever mess or happiness we are living in this very moment, whether it be as an individual, a family, a nation, or a planet, that mess is the sole and direct outcome of how we're feeling and flowing energy. Yesterday, the day before that, and the years before that. The law of attraction doesn't work a little here and a little there. It simply is, for you, for me, for the cosmos. We magnetically attract what we vibrate. And we have created it all, from fender benders to global wars. So from this moment on, never ever accept reality as something to which you must resign yourself. Take your thoughts beyond whatever is in front of you and focus on what you do like. If you don't, your so-called reality will never change. Granted, some ugly things may be glaring you in the face right now, or threatening you, or looking like a hopeless situation, but they are not set in stone. They must never be reluctantly tolerated. Unpleasant reality is nothing but an effect caused by negative energy flow. We can either live with those effects and suffer, or circumvent them to have a ball. And that's the end of that section. And there's some great information there. Goes back to, are we focusing on what is or what we want? So if our current reality isn't what we want, of course it's very easy to keep focusing about it and thinking about it because that's what we're experiencing. But it is possible to think, what do I want about work, about relationships, about my current relationship, or whatever it is, and start gently thinking about and focusing on what you want. And with time and practice, what you want will eventually become your what is, but we can't stay stuck in that. And this reminds me, many years ago, I had a client who was trying to sell a newspaper, and he wasn't getting anybody calling him, he wasn't getting any interest, and he was so focused on the what is, but somewhere inside him, he knew about the law of attraction, and he believed in it, but he didn't quite know how to get it to work in his favor. So I taught him various processes and ideas, and he was practicing them, and then eventually, it took a good month or two, but eventually, he started believing that if he started thinking about what he wanted through the help of these processes, he would eventually attract a buyer. And when he told me that, I knew it would happen because he was starting to feel it more. He was starting to feel it was possible for a wonderful buyer to come along and offer him exactly what he wanted and what he would do with all the money and everything he wanted as a result of that sale of his newspaper. So with time and practice, eventually calls started coming in. And during one of our sessions, he told me he sold the newspaper for what he wanted and he was so happy. And he was so happy that he really got how the law of attraction works in a much deeper way than he ever did. And that's why he attracted, it was actually multiple buyers in the end, because he changed how he was thinking about it. Instead of focusing on what wasn't happening, he started focusing on what he wanted in a way that put him in the receiving mode so that he attracted it. And that's what a lot of this chapter reminded me of. It's, you know, what are we focusing on? And can we believe, like I said earlier, that things are always working out for us? You know, think that thought. Things are always working out for me. And the more you think it, the more you'll experience that. There was a lot of wonderful information in what I read and talked about in this podcast. So maybe listen again so you can really start getting the information and apply it in your own life. And you'll start seeing a nice turnaround. And if you need help with any of this, remember that I've been a certified Law of Attraction Life Coach for over 10 years, and coaching sessions are held over the phone, so it doesn't matter where you live. And if that interests you, just contact me through lifecoachdavid.com or just through email at david@lifecoachdavid.com. And check soon, because I'm going to continue with another podcast soon that goes into this even more, and I'm excited to do that. But in the meantime, choose to have a high vibration day and enjoy.